good. I'm back with my boys. We've got Ben back in the pod. We missed you, Ben.
We did miss. I felt a bit left out, but I did enjoy listening. I enjoyed being able to listen to hear about Mont Blanc while I was washing horses. It amused me and kept me going. So yeah, it's good to be back.
It is good to have you back. We may, because you've listened, so we are well over thousands of people listening, but not over 1,000 Instagram followers. So I haven't had to post a topless picture of you yet, but we're not far off. So share the love, people. People want to see this.
If you want to see pictures of me looking like a squishy, because with my brilliant rider's tan at the moment, then yeah, that's the right way to go.
Talking of squishy, I was just saying to you guys, I've just eaten a Ferrero Rocher croissant. Who even invents that? I feel physically sick. So if I have to run to be sick now during the podcast, I apologise deeply. But yeah, no horse is going to appreciate that from me.
I've never heard of that before, but it sounds seriously good, that does.
It's one of those things halfway through you feel like you should stop eating, but that you just can't.
It's so naughty.
No. Yeah, and it's so tasty, but you feel sick. But for some reason, it just keeps entering your mouth. Anyway, we digress. So,
oh my God.
It's gone downhill already, lads. So first of all, I wanted to start the podcast with a thank you to so many people who are sending us lots of lovely comments and how much people are enjoying it. Boys, I think you guys have been getting the same. You've been feeling the love from the...
Absolutely. And my main thing that I've had is that people just love Ben. Like, they just think he's great, and they want to hear more from you, Jenny. They want to hear more about Canada and your career and what you've done and what you're planning on doing and all that kind of stuff. So we definitely need to do a Gen Pod.
A Gen Pod?
Yes. And that would be so much fun because we've done so many interviews and you're always in like the power position, not the hot seat. So it would be great fun to get you in there.
Exactly. She can lead it all.
I hate both of you. I don't feel like I can relinquish the control for that start off with. You're both evil. Look at you. You're both laughing your heads off already at the thought.
We're really nice boys. So you'll be fine.
I actually see the flaw in this plan is that Jenny gets to edit it. So it doesn't matter how many corners we back her into in the interview. She'll just be like, nope, that's not going in.
The rules are we get to edit it. And Jenny said, that's fine, that will never come out.
That will never happen. You two can't reply to a fucking WhatsApp. You're never going to edit an entire podcast. But one of the other things I wanted to clear up, because I've seen a few of things on Ben's social because of Ben's maybe slightly different approach to training and life than mine and Simon. A few people are like, why is it called Shut Up and Ride? Because that's kind of not your ethos, Ben. But I think it is your ethos because... The reason for me, it's called Shut Up and Ride, and I kind of wanted to clarify this because I had a few messages. Most people absolutely love the name. For me, it is about we get so caught up in like the stress of life and riding and, oh my God, it's got to be on the bit and, oh my God, it's got to look good and people are watching me and social media and blah, 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 blah. And for me, it is just about being on my horse and how much I love my horse and everything in the world can just shut up. Like, and for me, it's my meditation. It's my love for just even being next to my horse. And that for me is why I wanted to call it Shut Up and Ride, like block the world out. It's just me, my pony and how much I love them. And that is for me what it's about. And I don't know what the meaning is for you guys and whether you wanted to clarify why you love the name. But that's for me what it's about.
I think for me, I've seen a few messages from a few of my followers who've been a bit like, oh, Ben, not sure about the name. It's not very you. But I think what I love about this podcast is that I think a lot of the interviews I do or a lot of the content I put out is like professional me, like, you know, like on show being the man. Whereas I love that this has more us three sat round with a bottle of wine at Olympia. Do you know what I mean? It's more like it's that relaxing. It's being able to be a bit freer. And so that's why I loved it. It's just so different. That's the reason I love the name is because everything I do is so like, I don't know, all in one lane. And then so when you said Shut Up and Ride, I was like, yeah, absolutely. It's just like you say, it's just a bit fun.
Yeah,
don't forget that it's what is it, the Kelly Marks quote, it's an expensive way to be miserable. So yeah, have fun with
yeah
horses.
Exactly. And what about you, Simon? Why did you like the name?
I mean, I just like it because you can sing it, can't you?
Shut up and ride.
Oh, we're so cool.
We're really
I can just imagine really Simon singing that at students in lessons when they're asking too many questions.
Shut up and ride. You know what? I have sung it to a couple of people I've been teaching already.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
But again, like you were saying, Jenny, it's true. Like, you know, when you're in it and you're right, and you just shut up and get on with it, you know, it's absolutely, I love all that. It's great.
Also, a few people have said it's like listening to a podcast with your mates, which I thought was a real compliment. Like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Because none of us think we're any better than anyone else with horses in any way, shape or form. We just do it more for a living than most people. If people feel like they're coming on this journey with us and hanging out with us down the pub, which you're always welcome to do, that is what this is all about. So those comments made me really happy.
Maybe definitely, that's something that we need to do later on. When you're in England,
what,
if we get enough...
episode?
No, if we get enough like people listening and enough fans following along, maybe we should pick a pub someone one day when get the three of us get together and
yes.
do a podcast meetup in the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
I
very
love that
cool.
idea. That is a really good idea.
So one of the reasons we are doing today's podcast is obviously to catch up with how everybody is, because Ben is the busiest human on earth, running around to the arenas, showing everyone his muscles. Simon is busy being a four-star legend. Back at four-star, baby. How was that? How were your big brave pants getting on?
Well, I did kind of question myself a little bit, because I haven't done a four-star for quite a while now. And it was... It was a strong track and the horses relatively inexperienced, basically he's never done that level before. And as we discussed before, he overjumps into water and I had gone off and I'd done a lot of training to try and improve that, like as we discussed, and he didn't do it at all in training. So I was like, okay, this is not quite, beforehand I was thinking, I'm not sure we'll love a bit more than I can chew here. But I got going and I was just like, this is brilliant. I had a great time and he loved it and seemed to really enjoy himself. But we did get absolutely soaking wet through, because it literally, as I came out, as I jumped fence five, I think it was, it just suddenly started raining and it belted it down until I came through the finish and then it stopped. And when I say rain, I mean, it was literally like standing under a shower. It was, but I loved it. I love going, and now I'm going to sound like such a naff loser, but like, I love going in the rain because it makes you feel really like alive. That's such a great thing to say, but
it just, it's a rain of men. Hallelujah, yeah, exactly. It's a rain of men.
But you do, like, you're in it, the adrenaline's pumping, like, you've got the rain in your face, and it's, it was just so cool. It was just brilliant. I love it.
I feel like if that cross country hadn't gone as brilliantly as it had, you'd have a very different feeling about riding in the rain.
Oh my God, yeah, imagine if I'd fallen off. The bloody rain ruined
that
it for
video.
Me.
That video. Though you can see, like, normally, even if it's raining, you can't really see it on camera. But I had to reshare that video of you coming through the cross country because it was
mental. It was mental, like proper rain. But it was great. I loved it.
And do you think getting back at four star has put some little Simy demons to bed? Like, do you feel like, yeah, no, actually, I am back at this. This is what I love. Like, awesome. Let's crack on. Oh, he's frozen. Oh, no.
Well, I think it's because of...
Where's he gone?
The questions you asked him about it. So he's just had to, hasn't he? To save himself.
He's gone. Oh, no. Well, it's uploading for a second. We can edit this out. Come back, Simon.
Back.
Where's he gone?
My iPhone said that it was far too hot.
So it turned itself off.
Oh. So how have you rectified this situation?
Well, I just had to sit for a minute and let it cool. But it is literally like burning to touch. So I kind of, yeah.
Oh, have you got a window you can open?
Yeah, no.
That's not going to help.
Fridge, so I actually put it in the fridge. It's like, oh no, God, I'm going to get back. Quick, put it in the fridge.
Oh,
take
my
support
God.
From an eventer. Put your phone in the fridge.
Wow. I was going to edit you getting cut off out of the pod, but I think I've got to leave that in now. That's hilarious. Right. Before your phone explodes, first of all, before we talk about what everyone has been messaging to see if we're going to talk about, and we're going to do that in a second, before we go down that path, let us talk about the fact we have just won Britain's first gold medal at the Olympics, and we've done it with the Blooming Horses.
Yes,
I mean, whoop fucking whoop. I have never been so proud. unbelievable. What an amazing result. How you guys like perform in front of people, I have no idea, but how they put their head in the game to be able to, under pressure, pull out a gold medal. I'm overwhelmingly proud.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's, you know, what a situation for them to be in. You know, there was so much pressure anyway. And then with everything that's gone on in the last week or two, the pressure was even greater. And they, you know, all three of them, well, four of them, if you include Yaz as well, you know, they all were a fantastic team. They pulled together and they did an amazing job. So good on them.
I know. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. You guys have made us proud. I mean, we are going to do a podcast with Tom Rowland, who's the 7th of badminton, amazing eventer. So we're going to talk more things about eventing team with him, because otherwise we'll just leave Ben clueless, because he's like, yep, they jump stuff at speed and it's terrifying. But that's about as far as your eventing knowledge goes. I'm sorry, Ben, but you know it's true.
Oh, it is true. I think the thing I'm most impressed by was I saw it on someone's story, but I can't remember. And it was the most impressive thing was the fact that the dressage horse didn't lose its mind as like thousands of people all pulled out their umbrellas at once during the test. And I was like, my goodness, like, as if there's not enough to contend with, representing your country, being at the Olympics, the pressure from all the media recently. And then when you saw, I think it's incredible. I think it's so good for England. It's so good for the morale of the equine industry as well right now. And to have seen such high praise for all the riders, and just how it's so nice to just show we are a nation of horsemen and horsewomen, and that we are some of the, you know, the best horsemen in the world in this country. And we've gone and proved it again. And I think that's, after the last week's worth of media, it was lovely to show the world that.
Yeah, and it was just something very emotional, isn't it, about seeing Britain get gold, but then seeing your mate on there. Like, I was very lucky when Laura won gold in Tokyo, and I've been to her badminton parties and I've been to her gold medal parties, which are very fun, by the way, especially with your mate Jay Hallam. He properly turns up to a party dressed in gold, I tell you. I think there was some like gold spandex type things going on. But just, because you know how hard it is and what they've been through. And also, hats off to Michael Young, 3 times Olympian now. Like, we can't ignore the fact that the man is a master.
He is absolutely incredible. And he does it so beautifully. And it looks so easy. And the horse looks so happy. And it's just having a great time. And it does it. I love watching that man do his thing, because he's very talented.
Because he's often so obviously, like, such a technician. And he came over, there was a fence where it was a drop ditch, and then it was like 2 skinnies, and a lot of people had trouble with it because, like, the ditch you couldn't really see. I could be more technical, but I can't be asked, because this isn't a grown-up interview. But he came out at the other side of it, and he's just like this with his horse, like, pat, 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 pat. But he just goes nuts, and it was just wonderful. And then there was another bit where there's a Spanish rider riding around, because obviously there's a lot of European fans, and he's having a lovely time. He knows he's not going to win a medal. He's jumping and then cheering and waving at the crowd, having a wonderful time. I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. It was Carlos. Oh my God, it was brilliant. It just made me realise how many people love horses and want to support the team. And it was just brilliant. And I loved it, every second of it. But you know what's coming, team. We've had a lot of people message saying, are we going to talk about what is going on, not just in the horse world, but what makes me sad is, like, just we try our hardest to be front page news for all the right reasons, and the BBC lead with a story that is not so good. We have to talk about Charlotte. And I don't want to. She's a friend. I would love to be not having this conversation. I don't know if I can get through it without crying. So I don't even know where to start. I think I might defer to you two boys, because I feel like I'm quite emotional about all of this for so many reasons. But maybe Simon, Ben, who wants to start?
I mean, we probably ought to just actually explain exactly what's happened. Yeah, Charlotte Dujardin, who was the darling of British dressage, has won endless gold medals in Olympics, Europeans and World Championships. Just the week before the Olympics was a video that came to light of her coaching somebody and using a whip to coerce the horse into doing whatever it was she wanted it to do. And she hit the horse 24 times. And it has created a big drama for her and for equestrianism in general. She is off the team. She's not going to the Olympics now. And it's got far-reaching, you know, repercussions. And I think we need to talk about it.
Yeah. Well done. Good summary. So first of all, for me, I'm going to start with this and then I'm probably going to shut up and let you two chat for a bit because I will cry. For me, the biggest thing, and I think everyone's seen it by now, everyone's done it. But for me, the overriding thing is, and I will never condone what Charlotte's done. I can't. No one can. It's just no way you could. But for me, what I need to say is, why has at no point anyone said how the horse is? Like, that's what's making me really sad in all of this. It is a horse welfare issue, obviously. But for me, why does no one saying to me, how is that horse? What's happened to the horse? Like, at no point has anyone on any of these posts given a shit how that horse was afterwards. And it's just like, it's this massive rampage on Charlotte, but at no point has anyone said, oh, what happened? Is the horse okay? It just, that for me just makes me so sad.
I think, sorry, I was going to say, I just fully agree with you on that. Like, I've seen people attack Charlotte. I've seen people defend Charlotte. I've seen people attack the person videoing. I've seen people defend the person videoing. And when all of this is meant to be a conversation about horse welfare, no one has said anything about the horse.
No one even knows that that horse is still alive, even. You know, yeah. Like, no one knows what it's doing now. We've got no idea because no one has asked and no one has said. So I totally agree with you. Like, and everyone's trying to put the horse at the forefront of everything. Actually, they're not at all right from the beginning.
And I think that's the biggest thing. My biggest takeaway from this is, obviously, I saw the video, I heard about it, and I'll be honest, the first time I heard about it, I just called bullshit. I was like, nah, there's no way. And then I saw it, and it's not easy viewing. But actually, the video itself has fallen into sort of disregard in my mind, slightly, because the reaction from the industry and the public has been more worrying to me than the video. And like, everybody knows what I do and they know my views on horses and training and stuff. And I see so many people calling for change. They want change. And no one seems to be really pushing in that direction. People either want to attack Charlotte. Now, she's been investigated. She's been banned. I don't know what's going to go on. And from a professional level, I can completely see that. But I think there's also a big difference between a public lynching and a disciplining. I think there's always a human aspect to it. And I also, during the last Olympics, I actually put a post out after a rider was being sort of lynched by the public. And was just like, what do any of you who've sent this person abusive messages or left, you know, derogatory comments, do you think any of those messages or comments are going to be seen by the rider and make them want to change? And the answer is no, isn't it? And I think that's the big thing. If we wanted to see a difference in Charlotte, a difference in the industry, a difference in the judging from what's accepted and what isn't from higher up, I don't believe destroying Charlotte's life achieves that. Because I think the problems are bigger than that. The thing that's most horrified me has been the reactions from many of the professionals in yards. I think it's not been something that's made me feel like that this is one-off thing in the industry and not something. I think that's what's more chilling to me, is seeing that the people with the most money reacted to this in a way that wasn't condemning, but almost pushed back. And yeah, just, Simon, what do you think?
So, I mean, I think that what Charlotte did was absolutely appalling. And I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. But it is, you know, it is a problem, or has been a problem within the industry before. And it's been a reason why I've left jobs before, to jobs on the career, that I left a job because of, you know, horse abuse. But from a professional person, and it's just, it's such a difficult one because, you know, I don't even know where to go with it. I'm finding it really hard to deal with in general, because I feel like Charlotte has done wrong, but she is getting absolutely annihilated for it, and her entire life has been totally ruined. I think she does, as you said, I think she does. She obviously deserves to be reprimanded, and she deserves to feel bad about what she's done. But it's going to a whole different level, You know, the woman is absolutely despised internationally, and that's.
I don't know what to say. The thing that makes me so, oh God, I'm going to cry. The thing that makes me so sad is how, like, if you just said to little girl Charlotte, like, she'd probably be appalled at herself, like, how you can get caught up in this industry like she obviously has been or something. I don't know what to say. And I was watching the Olympics last night, and I love the Olympics. All that will be on in my house right now is sport. Like, I will pay 2 weeks of sport. It doesn't matter what sport it is. I love it. I love watching you guys do what you do best. I love watching anyone achieve and do amazing things. I hold people on a pedestal like that. And for me, watching win gold and watching my kids and explaining what the Olympics is, and I'm friends with Carl, and my kids have seen, like, his Olympic dress, like all his Olympic kit and Laura's Olympic kit. And it's just so special. Oh, sorry, I'm wittering on because I'm trying not to cry. But the thought that my kids might not see another Olympics with horses in it just makes me really sad.
And it is really sad. But I think we have bigger things to be worrying about than just not being able to see horses in the Olympics. I think we have to be thinking a lot further ahead than that. I think we need to be thinking about making sure that it's okay for us to be able to ride horses, because how things are going right now, it looks pretty bloody bad to any non-horsey person. If that's how we treat our horses, then we shouldn't be able to ride them. And I agree. And if I saw that, I would totally agree. I know that it's not like that with the vast majority of people that do this. But there's obviously a small percentage that do that, and that's what's being seen, and that's what we're all being tarred with, and I hate that. And that's something that we've and there's literally no silver lining to this situation. Every part of it is bad. It's bad in that that poor horse, Charlotte, is actually being completely ruined. The sport is kind of seriously being judged right now. All the equestrian sports, everything that we do, like, you know, including what Ben does, you know, everything that we do with horses is being questioned. And so, like, there's no silver lining to this at all, other than I think we need to be able to look from within the equestrian world and make ourselves better, and be, I don't know how, but whether it be more transparent, show more of what we do, or get more people involved, I don't know, but we need to do something to make this better, because otherwise we are not going to be able to do anything with horses, and that I can't even bear the thought of.
No.
There are two main questions. Why did it happen? And what do we do next? Now, in one of the statements released by one of the lawyers, and goodness knows how correct any of this is, it says that the horse was a small tour horse, and the training it was being, if you can call it that, the training that was being done in the video was apparently to improve the, you know, create a more flamboyant canter. And to me, when I asked, so why did it need to happen? Because it didn't need to happen. And then what happens next? Well, When I really enjoy the dressage, actually, and dressage as a concept. And in the last few years, I genuinely believe that when you watch it at the top level, is such a hunger for flamboyant movement, extravagant movement, that in some ways it is butchering the correctness of the exercises. And it is, and this excessive hunger for more movement and more exaggerated movement, which has bred this mindset of training like that. And I'd love to see a world in we could find a way to change. Because, like, that's my why question. The why is, I believe, it's because of the problem of people wanting more extravagant movement. And when it comes to what happens next, I genuinely think the best thing for the sport would be a change in how it is judged. Because if you change what people get marks for, then they're going to train differently. And in the modern day of technology that we have, like, I'm not a dressage person, so these could sound like ridiculous things, especially at an Olympic level with the technology we have now. Could we not put pressure sensors on the reins and on the riders' heels and legs and award riders for the minimal amount of pressure to give aid from the leg or from the hand? Could we, you know, open the floor for riders to compete in whatever bit they want? In terms of, you know, if you want to ride Grand Prix in your snaffle, ride in your snaffle. And because in that way...
Yeah, see, that I don't understand. I don't understand why they have to be in a double rival. Like, no. Why? And like you said, why can they not be bitless? Like, you know, why not? If you can make your horse go absolutely loosely with no bitting, well, good on you. Well, yeah, and, you know, that's pretty amazing. Good on you. Let's show it off. Should there
be incentives for that in a modern sport, in a modern world? you know, should you should you be penalized? Like, if you go and ride your freestyle Grand Prix test with no spurs in a snaffle, should you be awarded? You're awarded in the scoring system for that, opposed to someone else who required a curb rein and spurs. Because then we're putting the onus of the responsibility and the proof of talent should definitely be on the rider and not on the horse. And so, you know, by changing the rules and changing how it's judged in such a way that it's highlighting the training of the rider in ways that can't be hidden. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll see it in the proof of the pudding on the day. I believe that's what that should be the conversation that's been had, not how terrible Charlotte is. I'm not condoning what she did at all. And I don't believe that's who she is deep down as well. I had an interaction with her at Your Horse Live a couple of years ago, and she stood with my father and watched my full performance. And the moment I walked out of the arena, she walked up to me and said, "I'm fascinated by what you do. Can I have your number? I'd love to learn more about this." Now, she never called me, but she's a busy woman. But that interaction alone tells me that she's this, even if that was her, I don't think it's her now. We just need to be looking forward. What are we going to do about it? Because what's happened has happened. And yeah. Sorry, guys, that was a bit of a rant.
Do you think that with what she was doing there, that wasn't her horse. She was obviously in a coaching session. She wasn't at her yard. That wasn't at Carl's, was it? And I think one thing that probably did happen in that situation, I could be wrong, but it did happen in that situation, and I've had it with lessons with me, like people come and they want a quick fix. They want, you know, there's something that the horse isn't doing, so they want a quick fix. And lessons cost a lot of money. I'm sure Charlotte's lessons were hugely expensive, and so therefore there's pressure on her to deliver an improvement, and so therefore she's cutting corners, and they would seem that maybe that works. I don't know. So she's feeling the pressure, so therefore she's done. And whereas, you know, if somebody came to me and said, it's a little bit different, I mean, I wouldn't be able to improve much on the flat jumping wise, say that my horse is stopping, you need to help me and make it jump, and I put it around the course of a meter and it starts stopping, I'll literally just, you know, the quick fix would be to force it around. That's not what I'm about at all. So I'd have to strip it all back down again and start, because there's obviously holes in the training. Sorry, I'm waffling. But like the point to that is that I don't think Charlotte probably trains her horses like that, because there aren't holes in their training. Like, she would be very methodical about how she did it. So I don't believe that she would be like that with her horses. I think she was trying to do a quick fix. That's kind of the impression that I was getting from it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're both so much more eloquent than me, the blubbering wreck in the corner. I've never had this reaction to, like, I think because I know Charlotte and I feel like I can't, like, keep emotion out of it. But I think both of you have summed it up in a way that's far better and that I ever could have done. I think we've just got to hope that this is the start of just a positive, bright future for horses, not the beginning of the end. And that's what I hope, and how I hope this will be. And I think more and more people will be looking to people like yourselves, who are renowned for being amazing with horses, but also I think, Simon, you might agree with me on this, I don't know, but turning to people like you, Ben, who are doing alternative ways of training horses to the traditional methods that we are used to seeing on the TV. I know what you do has been around for a very long time, but do you know what I mean? What the public see, they don't see you on. You've not been on BBC Sport. Do you know what I mean? So maybe this is where someone like yourself, Ben, can start leading the change in a positive way, and hopefully more riders will start looking to people like yourselves and looking at the way we do it.
I think
Sorry, I was just going to say, step one of that is, this has got to stop being us and them. It's just got to stop. Like, I hate that. You'll notice if you look on my social media, I've not really posted anything about this. And it's actually made me feel a bit sick how everybody in my industry has jumped on the bandwagon of this. And it has just been like, do you actually give a toss about the horses, or are you just going to use Charlotte's downfall to build your following? Because that's the we all have to come together. And it's like, it makes me, there's a poem my grandma used to read me called "She's Somebody's Mother Boys," which is, Google it, it's a tearjerker. She's somebody's mother boys, and that was in my mind about her as a, you know, as a wife, as a mother going through all of this? What's her child's career going to look like if they want to get into the industry now with all of this on their name and stuff? But then also, if we actually want to see change for horses, if you actually want to see horses get treated better, we all have to join together, because there's a few people at the top that have the money and they get to make the shot. They get to call the shots. I mean, we only have to look as far as the racing industry and the reining industry. There's no reason for horses to compete at 3 years old other than money. They just, they shouldn't be. So there's so many, it just brings to light those bigger problems, doesn't it? Like, and I don't know how we fix it. I know we all want to be positive, but a lot of the posts I've seen from a lot of professional yards and things, they've not given me much positivity that there's going to be change. And I don't know how we start the change.
I mean, God, how do you respond to that? I don't know where you start either. But I do like, I really like your, what you were saying about how the judging needs to be changed. And I do agree with you on that. I mean, I think that the way that things have gone, especially with the dressage, is it's just constant pressure to do more, ask for more, get more. And it kind of reminds me of the Strictly From Dancing situation with, you know, like with the professional dancers putting so much pressure on the celebrities and it all falling apart and it turning into a big old bullying thing. And it's similar. It's a similar kind of situation with this, isn't it?
Yeah, and
because they're constantly wanting more and more because they've got to get better at it, and they've got to be better than the other person. And there's only so far you can. Well, there isn't so far you can go with that. You just keep on putting pressure on, and that's what's happening with the horses. And the horses can't say no.
And it's the same in the show jumping. Jump bigger fences. Jump them faster. Beat the horse that's extraordinarily talented faster and bigger. And there needs to be better rulings on how unacceptable any bad behaviour is anywhere, at any shape or form, at any time. And from, like you say, the judges down to just the normal person riding in a stables.
Pressure needs to be taken off, like, you know, like from all directions. For example, I had a horse that I was competing in, the owner, it basically didn't want to go. And the owner, I retired at an event, and the owner said to me, "Oh, well, why didn't you tell it off?" And I was like, "Well, because there's clearly like a gap in its training, and we need to go back and revisit that." And they sent the horse to somebody else who was going to be stronger and be able to basically force it around. And that's just so wrong. Like, that puts that, like, I felt pressure on me that I had to make it go. And that's not how I roll. So I'm not going to do that. But it's an ongoing thing. Like, there's always pressure from owners, from trainers, from parents, even from the industry in general. You know, that's, we've got to find a way of stopping that from happening. How the hell you do that, I don't know.
Following on from what has happened this week, is there anything you think you guys will change or do or say? Because we're saying, like, we don't know how change is going to happen, but you guys are professional riders. You are professional athletes in what you do. Is there anything that you're thinking, do you know what? I could do this differently. Is there anything that has this affected you in any way, shape or form? I think to lead change, we all have to do something differently. Maybe if I see something in a warm-up arena now, I should speak out more. If I think a rider's being an idiot, go and say to that FEI steward, that person needs to be held accountable. What could I do? Like, that's where I need to think. Or being in our podcast and chatting and helping and providing education. Is there anything you guys thought, do you know what? I want to do something slightly differently now.
I have an idea. It's just not mental.
Oh, God.
So if anybody is listening and is fabulously rich and would like to be on the correct side of history, I would love to show how it could be better by holding a competition with the new rules, with judges in the warm-up, something done properly and correctly in the way that we're told repeatedly by the FEI that is impossible. And the reason I say I'd want someone fabulously rich is because I'd want to be able to put such redonkulous prize money for the classes that the best in the world did turn up and prove to the world that it can be done.
See, I know you're laughing. I don't even need that at the moment. I don't think you need that at the moment. I think people would be prepared to do it. Like, for no prize money.
I think
it's a brilliant idea.
Just this, you know, we are the people and we have had enough. And they don't want to change. So why don't we do it? And I know this is me shooting myself in the foot, because the pinnacle for me, like, I don't want to badmouth the FEI. I've done lovely programs for them. You know, they're great for me. If I get to ride at their shows, that's the highlights of my career. But I also want to be watching my children compete and my grandchildren in the future and all of those things. And I want to, you know, this to be around. And everybody keeps saying they want change. And so I don't know, that would be, that's a little thing I'm playing with in my mind at the moment.
With Ben Olympics.
Well, just my inspiration is the Great Yorkshire Show. So I go to a lot of shows. I go to a lot of shows. And the Great Yorkshire Show, in my mind, is the show, definitely in the UK, possibly in the world, which has the highest horse welfare. Because they do not give a damn. They have their stewards walking around the collecting rings and the car park. If they walk up and they see someone 6 foot on a 12-2 pony, they say, I'm very sorry, madam, dismount and leave the showground. If they see a horse that's been lunged and it's white foam, they say, cool, that's bad, wash it off, leave. Like, they don't care, because it's horse welfare first. And what a break, like, why is that not the standard? Why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that special? Do you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We need to do better.
We do. All disciplines, in all, like, levels, everywhere. Let's not just throw one person under the bus. Let's all of us throw ourselves under the bus and look at everybody, have a look at how they're doing it, and everybody do better.
I think one thing in this country that we do need to have is licensing. I think that would be like licensing to be able to ride to a certain level. We don't have anything like that. Like anybody can ride a horse and do whatever. And I think, and very often you see really bad riding at all levels in eventing and show jumping. And I'm like, you should have a license to be able to do that, because you wouldn't have one. Like, so I think that could be a good start to trying to help improving on this kind of thing and teaching people about welfare and how things should be done properly and in a respectful way towards the horse, because it seems that that's lost very much in lots of situations. I think one thing that I'm going to try and do is be a bit more, well, a lot more vocal if I disagree with what someone's doing at a show. I've seen stuff that shouldn't be going on in the past. You always feel a bit like, should I say something, or shouldn't I say? There are the powers that be that should be, you know, stepping in. Why aren't they? Or maybe that's because it's okay. I think I'll be a little bit more open to saying something if I feel like someone's doing something wrong. But I mean, where do you start? And what am I going to do changing my training? I've been worrying about this for a long time now. Like, I've been saying it endlessly about how our sport is riding horses is on a knife edge, and you know that, you know, we need to be really careful about where we go from here. And then this has happened, and I kind of think, well, this is just giving it a little bit of a kick start. You know, we need to get it so that we are better. We need to be better, all of us. And that means, you know, keeping an eye on what everyone else is doing. And people have put stuff online saying, oh, you know, what goes on behind closed doors? And well, it shouldn't be behind closed doors anymore. Everything should be transparent. Everyone should know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, totally. Accountability. Cameras in yards.
Live feeds.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And so it should.
And those things, like if you look at weightlifting and stuff, like the way they run their drug testing, you know, you have to make sure you let them know where you are all the time so they can drug test you anytime, day or night. Should there be a thing, you know, if you're someone that rides at the top level, you know, if you ride for your country, should you have to be able to let someone know, you know, whenever you're training at home, whenever you're training somewhere else, so someone can come and watch that training unannounced at any time? You know, like, there are things that can be done, but I don't agree
with you, Ben, but it starts from the bottom as well. Like, you know, it starts from the bottom. You know, I see people doing stuff that, you know, they're just totally ignorant and they've got no idea that what they're doing is actually brutal or abusive to the horse. They have to get one idea. So, like I say, I think it all starts from the bottom, and I think licensing would be a really good start.
I agree with you on
that. Right.
Wait. One more thing, quickly, before you disappear. Just one more thing, quickly. Okay. Just, I really wanted to ask you both this question on this topic. Whenever we teach liberty, so if I hold a clinic, 2 or 3 day clinic, the first 2 hours of the first day are spent on talking about philosophy and mindset. our philosophy about the work we're doing, our philosophy about the respect of a horse, the mindset of what kind of state we're trying to get in mentally when we're around horses, the markers of when our mindset is slipping to a negative place and we must remove ourselves from being around horses, all of these sorts of things. Is that something that's common in the rest of the equine world?
No.
No.
It needs to be.
I've got myself now, I'm 42 years old, so it's taken me a long time, but I've got myself to the point now where I think like that, and I didn't think like that before, because I've never been kind of taught that that's what you should be thinking. Like, mindset is just such a massively important element of, or doing anything really, isn't it? But yeah, no, I think it's something that needs to be taught more of. And if you're in the right, and I've said this now lots of times to people that I teach, if you're not in the right frame of mind, on the don't get on your horse.
Yeah.
You just don't get on. Like, you know, just you need to be absolutely in the right mindset so that you can be consistent and that you can train your horse in a really methodical, kind way without losing your temper or without doing anything radical or silly. Like, if you're not in the best of places mentally, then you don't ride.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I've always taught that as well. If you're having a bad day, go for a hack. Go and have fun. And remember to have.
Yes, we call it always reserve the right to walk away. So we train with schooling whips because we're on the floor and it helps us reach the bits of the horse that are further away and stuff like that. And one of the rules I teach my students is keep an eye on your hand that's holding the whip. And if you notice that you're gripping tightly, if your knuckle's going white, if you're gripping that whip too tightly, the session is over because you're no longer in the correct mindset to be with this horse and in this. I don't know. I just wanted to ask you guys that because it's something that's so common and so normal in our industry. And I think that could be a really easy way, you know, even just like anyone, if you're someone that teaches people how to ride, then at the start of the session, take 5 minutes, have a conversation. What do you want about this lesson? How's that making you feel? How are you feeling about the horse? Do you know, all those sorts of things.
This is such a huge, huge topic. Like, you know, we could go on and on and on and on talking about this. There's so many things that should be discussed, not necessarily us, but just within the equestrian industry, within the equestrian world, it needs to be discussed, needs to be improved, needs to be changed. There needs to be, you know, things need to change, otherwise we are not going to be riding horses in the future.
I totally agree. And I feel like I want to go away and digest what you two have said and then come back on this podcast slightly less emotional because England have just won a gold medal and things and have all been high and low and high and low and oh my goodness, I'm too hormonal to cope with these things. And then that's another time. I should not, I tell you, when I've got PMT, I should not get on a horse. Just going to throw that out there. That is when I go for a hack. I'll own it. That is when I go for a hack because I'm like, if things don't go my way, I would get cross. So I am very aware that when I have PMT, I'm going a hacking, people.
There's a lady I should get to come on the podcast who I was doing a lecture at Hartbury, and there was a lady there that was all about how, like, it was all about the menstrual cycle and then menopause and how it affects riding. And it was fascinating, actually. Really, I loved that.
That is a route we should go down. I would hugely appreciate that. I love the way, I think I am not ashamed to say it. I would definitely be like, that is when I need to just zen out. And I don't need someone shouting at me to do a better bloody leg yield. I'm angry with the world before I've even started. So I'd just be like, right, no. Anyway, thank you, boys. I feel like this is a pod we needed to do. And I feel better having spoken to you two because I love you both very much. And yeah, I think it's at the heart of everything. No one rides horses because they don't like them. Everybody starts off in life riding horses because they love them. And you never know if you're going to be good at it. You just ride horses because you love them. The first moment you sit on a horse, you do it because you love it. This isn't an industry you get into because you like fucking being warm in the winter and you don't want to work hard. And you get up every day because you love that horse. And I think that's what we have to remember. And you have to always bring yourself back to that reason why you want to be around them in the first place. And I think high level competition and pressure and the money involved can make you lose your head. And let's remember why we first fell in love with them.
What a beautiful way to end.
Way of ending that podcast, Wes, because it is absolutely true.
Okay.
It's very often missed. It's totally forgotten at times, you know, that is the reason why we do it.
Yeah. It is, because we love pony cuddles. Okay, right. I feel that all is left to say is thank you very much. And yeah, shut up and ride.